is a misconception that you need to see the spirit realm to interact with it. On an unconscious level, you interact with it every day. When you encounter that world, you discover there are beings, names, powers, keys, territories, postures, languages, dignitaries, their laws. Every activity you do strikes a chord in time, but the activities linked to your call that strike a chord in eternity.
From the books of old and the new, the throne room of God and the divine secrets of the spirit, higher dimensions, near-death experiences, the spiritual realm, dreams and visions, plus much more. The RDM podcast explores it all and awakens you to secrets and deeper realms. And now, here's your host, Rabbi Daniel Malinga.
Hello everybody, this is yours truly, Daniel Malinga. Welcome to the sixth episode of the second season of the RDM podcast. We're going to be diving into some deeper things today. I'm not alone in the studio. People say hi.
Hey guys, McLean here. Good to be here as well.
Hi guys, Dave. Good to be here for the first time.
Hello, I'm Eric. Honored once again to be here.
Hello everyone. Kim Gisamaria. Glad to be here.
Albert, happy to be here.
Okay, there you go. We have the team in the house. The house is full. We're ready to discuss things. Let's get it on. Okay, from the past few weeks or so, we've been discussing a lot of things. We've gone through warfare. We've gone through... what else have we gone through, Maki?
Blessings and curses.
Blessings and curses. We've gone through...
spiritual espionage.
that was a unique one. Spiritual espionage. But today, I want to bring us back down to us as individuals. I want to ask, and hopefully everyone in the room will have something to say here. What does it take to get a person from point A as a Christian, let's say from the day that you get born again, up to a place where you can say they're efficient and effective in their call? You can say from a point of cluelessness in relation to their call and purpose to a place of effectiveness where people can look at them and say, I want to be like that person. What, according to you, what would it take? What would the process be? Are you there now? Are you on your way? Do you know someone who's there? Dave?
Yeah, I guess it takes getting to know what your call is and moving into your destiny. It's not as simple as I'm saying it, because it does take a little. It's like knowing I'm a writer. Have I moved into my home? Are there people who I see who I can aspire to, and then trying to get there? So it's a process.
Which people do you look to? First of all, what is your calling?
Writing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not your calling. That's what you do. Your call is to be a writer. Fine. Yeah. So is there someone that you aspire to, someone that you look to in that area?
Yeah, there are some writers. There's Biko Zulu, who's Kenyan, Wanja Kavenji also, and some here that I keep a close eye on too. And in trying to get there, I try to see how best I can match what they're doing.
Okay. That's it. Okay, so are these guys Christians?
Not that you know of. No.
So let's say someone out there is listening, and they're saying they are born again Christian. They understand that you look towards these people and that you discovered your call as a writer. Where does the concept of you being a writer that is born again fall in line with looking towards these guys who may or may not be born again? How does that align with your call as a child of God? I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying.
I think I do. I think in moving into getting to the level they are at, is when I would be able to convert without convicting. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. To draw them, use my writing to get where I'm at, maybe without preaching the gospel per se. And when I get there, then rein them in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maria. Yes, today you're going to speak. You're going to speak. You know, feel free, because we want to help a few people. I've taught a lot of messages and callings and purposes and so on and so forth. But do you know your call, and what does it take to get to the what many would call a respectful, or let me not use the word respectful, a place in your call that you can clearly say that surely the Lord has used you as a tool, and that people can look to you if they want to be where you are. What is your call, and how does someone, how does God get a person from point A to point Z?
Personally, I'm not 100%
sure
about my calling, but I believe the more I grow and the more I walk into what I believe is my calling. For example, I believe I'm called to be a leader.
Yeah? Okay.
I've not yet reached where it's 100% clear unto me, but the more I walk into, the more I do activities and things that help me understand the leadership thing, it opens up my eyes to understand the diversity of it. Yeah. And how has God led me into this? The men that I've met with, purposefully, the men of God, the desire that comes with wanting to understand how to lead people has led me into like serving ministry, and even at school I do things that have been different from other people. It's not exactly into being a prefect and all that. No, it's getting a group of people that I know I'm leading, and I'm opening them into understanding the mysteries of God, helping them walk with me to the place of where I am. For example, if I'm speaking in tongues, all my friends should be able to speak in tongues. Yes, that's it.
Okay, that's interesting. Maki, tell me, you know your call? You're calling, and where is the, even as you answer that, where is the place of gifting in calling?
Call. Yeah. My call is to be a businessman.
Okay.
And in that, the gifting is also in teaching.
Okay.
I have a gift in teaching. I love to teach.
Teach in line with business.
Line with business.
All right.
Yes. And because of that, for me to get to where I need to be eventually, I have had to develop certain cultures and disciplines. And one of those things is studying a lot in line with things related with business. So I read a lot of business-related books. And to bring out the point that you're driving to, where does the Christian aspect come in? I intentionally look out also for Christian writers or Christian businessmen who have their testimonies out there. And they're not doing so badly. Okay, they are not the world's richest billionaires, but they are millionaires and billionaires.
You have an example of?
Jack Canfield.
Okay.
He's a great author. Yes. He's a Christian. And if you read his literature, he's spot on.
Spot
for
on.
A businessman, he's spot on.
Wow.
Then I'd recommend another book for any business guy out there, and you're a Christian, it would be The Richest Man Who Ever Lived.
Oh, yes.
It's based on the book of Proverbs. I've never seen someone expound on the book of Proverbs like this guy did. So for me, things like that, to just keep in line with my Christian faith, because of course, one of the people who I look at, not look up to, I look at and whose throne I want to take, you know.
Yes.
Okay. So, and he's not a Christian. He's a Muslim. So from that aspect, the things that I can pick from him is maybe only his discipline with his faith, because he's a devout Muslim. So I ask myself, okay, if this guy who is a Muslim is that devout, how am I doing in my own right, okay, as a Christian, to get to where I need to get to?
Okay, but I also asked in line with that, where does the place of gifting, do you know what you're gifted with? The gifts that lie within you, and what is the importance of those gifts in line with achieving your call?
Teaching, I have a gift of teaching, and with it comes wisdom as well.
Right.
I have, thank God, the ability to see things that the ordinary person would not, or to see opportunities that the ordinary person would not.
Okay. So not seeing in the spiritual realm, but you're...
Not seeing in the spiritual realm, but I'm able to pick out very easily. If you give me A, B, C, I can tell where the difference between A and B is.
Okay.
And in line with that, I help to direct those who consult with me or who check with me for advice based on those lines, but coming from a place of wisdom, and that wisdom coming from God.
Okay, yeah, nice.
So I teach along those lines, not out of what my Christian faith teaches me.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Albert, you know, I want to go around the table. Tell me, you know your call as whatever it is that you're called to? Do you know what it is?
Yes, I do.
And how has God got you from where you were a few years back to where you are now?
Well, I think it's a very timely question that you have asked me, because I've been going through moments of reflection, and these reflections were trying to draw my mind to question whether what I have achieved, I have achieved through the spirit or through
the flesh.
Through the flesh. So, for instance, the last 5 years, I have done a couple of business deals, and when I sit back and I reflect, I can see that I did all those things to an extent through my mind.
Mm.
Because when I look back, I don't see growth there.
Mm.
Yes, I had small successes, but I don't look upon it right now and I see that, you know what? That was God. Because I believe if God is in something, he really sustains it.
Mm.
So I sat back, I think this week, and I asked myself, am I really a Christian?
This week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Week, yeah.
That means you're in the right place today. Eh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I sat down and asked myself, am I really a Christian? And so there's a portion of the scripture that says, as when the Lord told his disciples that these will be the signs that will follow those who believe.
Mm.
And he says that they will speak in tongues.
Mm.
So I sat back, I said, but I speak in tongues. So if I do speak in tongues, that means the Lord is testifying that I'm what? I'm a believer.
Uh-huh.
So I started to realize that I've had gifts in me that I have not preempted.
Uh-huh.
And one of those is the gift of speaking in tongues. And so I asked myself, to what extent have I manipulated this to sustain myself in business? And the honest truth is, I don't remember a deal that I did by reflecting on the power of tongues. I've never consulted the power of tongues to do a deal in my life. So,
Albert, you're at a point of reflection.
I'm at a point of reflection.
Excellent.
I'm at a point of reflection. So, I started to think again that, well, the Lord has been gracious. He has brought the right people in my life. And some of these men are actually not men of God. And they have taught me things which are business shrewdness. Maybe you take a loan, you do things like that. But now, 3-4 years on, I look to those men and I see that they are not the right mentors if I really want to build something that is solid.
Mm.
So, of course, I look to my father, you, Rabbi, and I say, Rabbi does not work, you know, but he's financially stable, you know. I look to a man of God, Prophet Elvis, and he says that his wealth is mysterious. So deep down, I ask myself,
why isn't your wealth mysterious?
Why can't I be a businessman who is mysterious?
Okay. All right, Albert. Okay, dude from Galilee. Okay. You wait, Tommy. Because I'm glad I brought this to the floor. Eh? It gives me direction where we're going. Tell us about your call, your gifting, and how far you think you are.
Yeah, this is interesting. I'm an apostle by calling, but with a big emphasis on music as a gift.
Specifically now, worship or any type of...
Prophetic worship.
Okay.
So what happens is since 2012, now we're into 2021, what has been happening is I've been seeing an evolution in terms of a shift in my mindset on, yes, the call, then the purpose of the gifting to enhance the call.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
So what happens is, because one other thing also for the truth is, music is just built inside me so much so that I remember back in the day growing up listening to different kinds of sounds, you know, flavors coming from all over. Now, that to do with the apostolic mantle to this generation with the gifting, one, of music and sound, bringing the heart of the Father to a generation, but moving away from the surface of just, okay, this is music and it's good sound. We're dancing to it. We're grooving to this. What is more to this? So for me, it's also been that place of, okay, looking at men that have gone before in sound.
Mm.
Yeah? So from the fathers, the likes of Ron Kennelly, you know, Alvin Slaughter, you know, now fast forward even to Sinach, the likes of Sonny Badu, you see. And so it's like, it's now a fusion of so many things in here. And like we have the past, the present, then we have the future. And so it's one big thing, and it's that place where you just can't quickly come to and say, okay, I've understood the subject.
Okay, so where are you now?
I'm now at the point of rollout.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad I brought this to the floor, because you've literally preached the session for me. Eh? or should I say taught the session?
Yeah.
I've been reflecting on this because I ask God questions. Why are specific people not shifting in life? Eh? Mm. Do they know their calls? And, you know, a number of people that I meet, they actually know their callings. Eh? Mm. They know what God has put upon their lives. They know their giftings. And so I want to show you briefly, though it may be, the process biblically that God takes a man from point A. Well, we all don't know what point Z is, because it's appointed for each man to die once and then thereafter judgment. But the thing is that to be efficient and effective in your calling, and I'm going to do this by starting with Matthew chapter 19 and verse 12. We're going to read it and go through it. Let's see how far we go with this.
All right. Matthew 19:12. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs of the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it.
First, read it again. So this time, because I'm going to ask you, what do you know as a eunuch is? Okay, go ahead.
For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's
womb. So they're eunuchs that are born from their mother's womb.
And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men.
So there are eunuchs made of men.
Yes. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake.
Okay.
Then he that is able to receive it,
let him receive it. Now, I want you to understand here, this is a very, very important part of scripture. We could teach an entire subject on eunuchs, but that's not what I want to teach. I want you to get the principle here that is given in scripture. There are people who are made something from deep within their mother's womb. Now, let me tell you this. Everyone has something upon them from God from the time they're born. The time they come out of their mother's womb. God plants giftings inside and he places certain things upon you. When you come out, they are natural to you. That means there's no one on the face of this earth who comes onto the earth absent of a grace. Grace meaning there's nothing you did to receive certain things. They were just bestowed in you because God saw in you his child.
Yes.
So now here, because there's so many people all over the world born at different times and different places, God bestows gifts that will make each person unique. And I've taught before that there's a difference between being unique and being distinct. Distinct is actually a process. It's a distinction. Unique is something, every human being is unique by nature, by default. You are unique, but to be distinct, you have to go through
a process.
A process. Are you with me?
Yes.
So we're all born into uniqueness. There are gifts that are planted inside each and every one of us. There are two types. The first are the gifts that will be clear to each and every one of everyone around you. As you grow, it will be clear that this baby can sing. It will be clear that this baby likes dancing. It will be clear that this guy is drawn to animation, and so on and so forth. As the child grows, there are giftings that are awakened by certain encounters. Then there are giftings, there are giftings that are clear to everyone. Then there are giftings that remain asleep until they encounter things that awaken them. So they're true. You with me? So what the first category is, they're clear to everyone. Then the second category is that until there are certain gifts that are asleep until they encounter something that awakens them. Now please understand, those are eunuchs that are born from the womb. They're inside you from day one. The motivational world, especially the carnal motivational world, usually focuses on these gifts, whether they were clear to everyone or they've been awakened along the way, to emphasize you can do it. Okay? So they focus on that. So Michael Jordan, from the time he was young, good basketballer, at a certain stage he entered the real realm of becoming a basketballer. There's some guys who were born younger than him, they were much better basketballers than he was. Okay. Some people are born good singers. Michael Jackson was just naturally a good dancer.
True.
All right. Instilled within him. It's a grace that God bestows on certain people. Now, you can, through soul searching, look deep inside of you and find what was planted inside of you that has not yet been awakened. Soul searching is easy. You don't really need God. I can assure you. There's some. That's why people in the world out there without God have tapped into certain gifts, because they were bestowed inside them from day one. You with me?
Yes.
Okay? You can soul search and become perfect in that area. Now, I'm going to get back to that, because you can be born a eunuch. As time goes on, you reach a second stage where you're made a eunuch by men. And this is why it's important you understand that there are things about you that need to be added to you.
True.
They were not there. Okay? They were added. This can be either carnal or spiritual.
True.
That means I've listened to some of you talking, and there are certain men I looked to, and there are friends that I used to hang around with, and all that is a eunuch made by
men.
You understand?
Yes.
Made by men. So you encounter certain people. Now, God himself can bring certain men, born again or not, your way to ensure that certain things in your life are unlocked or are added to. Are added into your life in order to make you efficient and effective. In the realm of the spirit, it's at this level that you encounter impartation, inheritance, legacies are created. Are you with me? And this is where spiritual sonship and fatherhood are created. At this level, not at the born
level.
Okay? It's at this level where you're made by men. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to also get to that, because I have to touch all three categories. Then there's a category where he says, if you read for me that final category.
Which, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake.
Okay, so there are things, and this is where I need many people to listen to me, because people will encounter mentors and spiritual fathers, get things added to them based on who they're looking to, and think that's all there is. But there is a higher level, the place of intimacy and deeply searching God for the kingdom of God. Because no matter who your spiritual father is, you might never know if his ceiling becomes yours, or he becomes your limit based on your call.
Mm.
So this is why it's very, very important for you to personally have an intimate dive into God, to tap into things that you might never have got had you just stayed at level two. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Because that spiritual father you're looking to would have done exactly the same thing in his time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because I'll give you an example. Prophet Elvis, my spiritual father, has a spiritual father.
Correct.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was telling someone the other day that I don't want to go ahead of myself, but I was telling someone the other day that if you look through scripture, it's possible to be more powerful than your spiritual father.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
does not make him irrelevant.
True.
Because Elisha had double anointing.
Yes. Yes.
Some people think that because they're more powerful, the father is now
irrelevant.
It is very, because even Prophet Elvis himself, you just look at who his spiritual father was and the greater dimension he has.
Mm.
In fact, the key to spiritual lineage is that as we go down the lineage, there is more power.
Correct.
Because more things are added.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Anyway, okay. So this is important. Now, in order to understand this, you will go through these three processes in order to be efficient in your call and your purpose.
Hmm.
That for some people, they get stuck in part one.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, you can be so perfect in what God has planted in you from the time you were born. You can become number one, run like Usain Bolt, because God planted it in you. And the world applauds you in being fast, but you're not aligned to purpose.
Mm.
Because the deposits that we have in us allow us to sharpen them so much that it can look like we've made it in life absent of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's possible to be number one without God.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an alignment of purpose. That's the scary thing of this. So someone can be just at number one. They were born with something. They sharpened it so much. And the world applauds them. But they are not fully aligned to purpose. To be fully aligned to purpose, it is three stages living in your life. These three stages. You are born.
Mm-hmm.
You have found men and women that add to you.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, you have sought the kingdom of God and something was imparted. Those three is what you call alignment to purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me,
yes.
Albert?
Yeah? Yes.
Yeah, you are reflecting, so now let me help you. So here's the thing. Now, you're going to read for me 1 Corinthians. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Read for me.
1 Corinthians 15:41. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory.
Okay, so there's no one on the face of this earth not born a star.
Mm-hmm.
No one. Eh? When you're born, you're a star.
Mm-hmm.
The stage of men adding to you is the moon. You with me?
Yes,
why? Sir. Because it reflects light from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Then the stage of the sun is that final stage where you seek God. Now, notice if you look through scripture, Jesus is referred to as the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
He's also referred to as the morning star, but never referred to as a moon because he does not reflect.
He is. Amen. Amen.
You're with me?
Yes.
So now, these three processes are bestowed. I'm trying to prove to you that you go through three stages in life. You go through them. Okay? In these three, the most important stage for me, okay, all three stages are important because there's self-discovery, then there's people adding to you. But that middle stage there, there are people who have died in that wilderness.
True.
That middle stage there, because there are patterns in the realm of the spirit. First of all, there are patterns that are aligned strictly to your call. So I'll give you an example. There is in the Bible, there were people whose patterns were set for their lives before they were born. or while they were still in their mother's belly.
Mm-hmm.
John the Baptist was not allowed to drink wine or cut his beard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Samson is not allowed to cut his hair.
Mm-hmm.
There are patterns that are set from the time. Those guys are not the exception. There are patterns to each and every one of us aligned to our lives. When we come into this earth that confine our calls. Those patterns might not be cutting hair or drinking wine or so on and so forth. Eh? Usually if it's something like that, probably an angel will appear and tell you you're not supposed to.
Mm.
Or would appear to your parents or whatsoever.
Mm.
But you will find that there are people naturally, we call it naturally in life, who are seclusive. They're not, and you know, there's nothing wrong. They just naturally spend a lot of time with themselves. I know, for example, my spiritual father, Prophet Elvis, was always like that.
Mm.
And that pattern was aligned to him because of the call that he had upon his life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, someone will come, and this is interesting, will come as a son, a spiritual son, and they were not born with that same thing, yeah? And they will try to force the seclusion, yeah? Eh? Trying to force the pattern. Now, I'll tell you, I'm not stepping on any toes here, but I'm telling you that there are things that you can force, there are things that a spirit leads on. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
If you force things, you get frustrated because you will not see the results the person has. These things are done spiritually,
yes,
not carnally.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I've used an example of seclusion.
Mm.
There are things that are born. Sometimes it's not even a personality. Some people are just, there are things that they have within them that from day one have confined, they're like limits to their call. They can never go outside them. Those are patterns. I was listening to, years ago, this man, the singer, The Weeknd.
Yes.
A singer called The Weeknd.
Yeah.
Who has upon him the same spirit that Michael Jackson had.
Wow.
If you listen to him, if you listen to The Weeknd. If you listen to just some of his music without knowing who is, you can think it's Michael Jackson. And I listened to a story of his when he was being interviewed. And he said, I used to watch Michael Jackson a lot. To me, he was like a god. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everything he did, I did. The way he spoke, I spoke. The way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he attracted the same thing. Boop!
True.
And it landed upon him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You would say the same for... he's not alone. There are people who look to Michael Jackson in a different way. And I'm going to show you. Because you can all be seated upon a particular kind of person, be honoring them the same way, and one person captures the spirit, and for you just remain a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to watch his Michael Jackson videos where there are ladies who run onto him, and they, I love you so much, and they faint, and they what? But in the end, the world does not know them.
True. Very true, yes.
And there are churches like that.
Yeah.
A person loves the man of God, but it goes far beyond shouting, I love you, I jump on you, I what or what. Somewhere out there, if you take Justin Timberlake, look to Michael Jackson, okay? Chris Brown, Michael Jackson, okay? But Michael Jackson had more than 6-7, what's his guy? Usher.
Usher, yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And you can clearly see, you know, it's one thing for a person to say Michael Jackson and you don't see the Michael Jackson. But someone to see it and you say, okay, I can see where this guy got it from. Because you can clearly see these guys were not just fans. Are you with me?
Yes.
And I'm talking about the second stage here. The thing of spiritual fatherhood applies not just in church, it applies in life. Those guys, their spiritual father was Michael Jackson. Are you with me? And there's a lineage, so they captured a spirit and each captured something about their father, because The Weeknd is not a good dancer.
True.
But he's a singer, sings exactly like him. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the others captured the dancing. There's some people out there who capture dressing. So, I'm going to tell you this because this is important as a child of God and how to receive from an anointing. We're going to get there. Okay?
Yes.
You're going to read for me Numbers chapter 11.
Numbers 11, 16 to 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the land,
and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt?
Okay. I made you read a long thing. It was up to 20. Eh?
Yes.
All I needed was up to 17, actually. But mm-hmm. I let it flow for the sake of it. Eh?
Mm.
Read for me verse 17 again.
17. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee,
mm.
and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone.
Okay. Before I go into that, because I told you we're going through the three stages.
Mm.
If you're born with something, the biggest mistake as a Christian, because it's possible for you to go to church, you're born with something, you own it, you sharpen it, you become perfect in it. The biggest mistake you can make is to think you've arrived.
True.
Biggest mistake. And I'm going to show you why later. Everyone is born with a grace, like I said.
Mm.
And I have to explain the grace aspect here. There is an eye, there is a nose, there is an ear. The eye is graced to see.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
The nose is graced to smell. It doesn't have the same grace as mm-hmm. the eye. The ear is graced to hear. Now, I need you to understand that it's possible for someone to be an eye, and they look, but they don't see.
Mm-hmm.
It's a level of grace. You can look. You can be doing what an eye is supposed to do. You look.
mm-hmm.
But you're not seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm.
All right?
Yes.
Then there is a higher level where now a person can see but can be able to discern mm-hmm. or distinguish.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm.
It's like the same with an ear. You can hear
but not listen.
But not listen. That means there are deeper graces
mm-hmm.
for your area.
True.
You're with me?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
There are vocal anointings. I had naturally, from the time I was born, I've always had a vocal anointing. I've had the ability to speak.
Mm.
Before I got born again as a Christian, I was into motivational speaking, and even possibly even after.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm.
I fell in that category that was sharpening the gift given to me,
uh-huh.
and it was very easy for me to go down that direction and think I've lived life.
Mm. True.
Are you with me?
True.
So I knew the gift, it was clear to everyone. My parents, my dad, I remember, bought me a book, How to Make Money Through Speaking. So he bought me that gift. And so their vocal anointings. In the Bible, there are vocal anointings.
Mm.
John the Baptist was a vocal anointing.
Mm-hmm.
He's referred to as the voice in the wilderness.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm.
There are people that don't have in the Bible a vocal anointing. Moses did not have a vocal anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
There are singing anointings. David had one.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
Moses had a crafting anointing.
Mm.
You know, you throw down something, it turns yes. into a snake. You put your hand in, it's leprosy. Another, it's not. A crafting anointing. So everyone has anointings that the Lord has put upon them that distinguish them. The way the Lord has created certain things, even if they're natural gifts, by association, it can rub off.
Mm.
A basketball gift, if you hang around with a basketballer, there is a portion of that gift that will rub off to you.
Very
and I'm
true.
Not talking about playing basketball.
Mm.
You will find that when you watch basketball games with a basketballer, you will start to see things that the average person
yeah.
watching basketball does not.
True.
Why? Because there's something that has rubbed off from them onto you. Mm. So we always get portions, association. Mm. Eh? Bad company corrupts.
Good morals. Eh?
There's a particular aspect to association that rubs onto us, which brings me then to this particular scripture that we've read. Moses is told by God. God tells him that I'm going to remove your spirit and put it upon 70 people. Now, this is very important because this is where the second stage falls. Mm. The place where you meet men and women, mentors or spiritual fathers, that add something from their spirit and is bestowed onto you. God will always use what we call a prototype, an initial person. Now, I have to say this. There are people, especially men and women of God, there are some who are forged by God within the confines of the church. There are some who are forged by God under a specific anointing. They are not necessarily in church, but under a specific anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are those who are forged in the wilderness.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes.
They are not in church. No one was over them.
Mm.
But God, they had a personal one-on-one with God. Now, yes. This third category are usually the most unconventional. They are rough around the edges.
Mm.
People always have a problem with them.
Mm.
But I have found through history that while God, yes, can get the other two categories and start something fresh, like he did with Samuel. Samuel was within the confines of church.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm.
God can get a John the Baptist when he's starting something new.
Mm.
Huh?
Mm.
Put them in the wilderness. He can get an Elijah in the wilderness to start something in someone that has never been there.
Mm.
They are men of the wilderness. Okay?
Mm.
Those men often, I have found, you see, there's a difference. All our calls here, you can have an anointing upon you for your church. Huh?
Mm.
You have an anointing for your nation. And I've just really broken this down for the sake of time. You can have an anointing for the world. Hmm?
Mm.
But you can have an anointing for your generation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm.
When God raises a man for a generation, okay?
Mm.
He's relevant to everyone in that generation.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they sit under him or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to prove it to you in scripture. We're not going to read it for the sake of time. Elijah.
Mm.
Who was Elijah's spiritual son?
Elisha.
Mm. We know the story. Elijah says, God is taking him away.
Mm-hmm.
There are other prophets in the land who even tell Elisha that, do you know that your master is going to be taken away?
Mm-hmm.
So they also know.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible refers to them as sons of the prophets. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not of the prophet, not of Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
They are sons of other prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there were other prophets in the land.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to understand something. Elijah turns to his spiritual son, who I believe was not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And says, stay here.
Mm.
And you know the story. Yeah. They move through city to city, and Elisha insists until he says, give me a double portion of your anointing. And he says, that you have asked is not easy. But then he says, until you see me go. You know? So now, what he's saying there, it's very, very important, because Elisha goes through these three stages until he reaches the stage where he sees Elijah go. Now, this is important. The sons of the prophet are also in the vicinity, but at a distance. And they can see that something has come for Elijah. Actually, the Bible says they see a whirlwind. Elisha, who's closer, sees horses of fire and chariot. When Elijah is being taken away, the mantle falls. And Elisha, what does he say? My father, the chariot of Israel and the horseman thereof. Now this is very important. You understand? When he saw Elijah going, he saw him in a way that these other people at a distance had not seen him.
Mm-hmm.
Please understand that these other prophets acknowledge Elijah as a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
They were the sons of other prophets, so they were not submitted to him. And it was easy for them to think that he's just another prophet.
Like them.
Or like their fathers.
Mm.
But Elisha, who had since then, he had never called Elijah that. Sees him go and calls him the chariot of Israel. That means Elijah was a prophet of Israel, not just your prophets. Okay? He was Israel's prophet and its horsemen thereof. What that means is that his anointing was guarding the nation.
True.
Inside that nation, there were other prophets. Are you with me?
Yes.
But his anointing was guarding a nation. And Elisha sees, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horseman thereof. He sees, but this man is not a normal man. He's not like any other man. What that means is that at that point when he realizes that Elijah is the chariot of Israel, it was important for these sons of the prophet, whether they submitted to him or not, to also go along to receive what the chariot of all of Israel, not just of Elisha, had available to give. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
So there are people on the face of this earth, anointings. It doesn't matter if you're submitted to them. They are for the generation.
Yes.
So now, it's very, 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 very important, because it is possible for you to recognize, and this is where people need to realize submission, because submission is a spiritual lineage thing. There are two things that I've learned. You can submit to someone's word, and you can submit to the person. Okay?
Yep.
Someone can speak something and God can say something through them. So, for example, if the great prophet, Prophet Elvis, said in this nation, God forbid, if he said something, okay, let's say he said, invest in what? In real estate.
Yeah.
It is possible for someone who does not even attend the fellowship to hear that and submit to the word. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah. But it's different when someone submits to the person. Inheritance is only possible submitting to the person, not to the word. Are you getting, are you guys getting what I'm saying?
Yes, we are.
So, at that level, the second level, the spiritual lineage level, when you submit under a person, like Elisha did for Elijah, you receive an inheritance of what the person has. You don't just receive anointing, you receive a spirit.
Correct.
Of the person.
Yes.
When you receive the spirit of the person, which brings me back to the scripture that we've read here, where God removed the spirit of Moses and put it on 70 people. What that means is that he has replicated the person. They will respond like Moses. They will have results like Moses. There are many Moseses. Now, when you submit under a person, if I submit under my spiritual father, which I do, if a person I'm submitted under, if he's married, there is no way I should expect to be single if I want to get married. There is no way. Okay? If he has money, there is no way I should expect to be broke. No way. You understand? Because it's the idea is that the same person,
his life, is your life.
No, you're getting, that's it. You with me? The same person is being replicated. If he's not struggling with rent, the idea is that his life
is my life.
My life. That spiritual lineage thing is very important, because there are things you will take 100 years to try to figure out, and you can get from a man by seeing him a particular way. This is why it's important, because someone will ask, but how do I do that? Because you must learn, don't see like the sons of the prophet, like another man of God. You must see. It's like how these guys who loved Michael Jackson, some of them were seeing him totally different to the way the others were. And that's how things are transferred. He saw him as a chariot of Israel and the horseman thereof. Familiarity is the biggest killer at this stage.
True.
The biggest killer. It's the biggest roadblock. You can laugh, talk, joke with your man of God, But if you allow the line to be crossed of familiarity, you have just made yourself of no consequence.
Totally irrelevant.
Actually, totally irrelevant. All you have is proximity. The purpose of proximity is actually to enable you to have access to certain things spiritually. Mm. But if you just use proximity, then you've missed it. Because someone from a distance can have access as well.
Mm. True.
Are you with me?
Mm.
So the element, God will take you through this place of birth, take you through this place where you meet men and women who deposit into your spirit. When a man that you listen to speaks, they release a spirit of impartation. That spirit of impartation, depending on how you hear, can in that moment translate your life. I'll give you an example. Prophet Elvis Mbonye Ministries, I joined in 2014. Many people at that time now had not attended. But I joined in 2014 while was still, what, must have been like what, 150, 200 people. And I remember from 2014, actually 2014 was an interesting year because I was struggling to understand, what is this guy talking about? Understand?
Yeah.
And I'm a teacher and I'd been teaching for years. And I remember one time I sat next to, I told my neighbor, I just attended for like the fourth time or something. I said, man, this guy should just chill the teaching and stick to
the prophecy.
Now when I look back, I was like, what was I thinking? So 2014, 2015, still around the same thing. Now, I started going because I felt there's something here. Okay? Before 2014, you're going because you're thinking, man, leave alone the thing to do. Because usually it becomes the thing to do when numbers grow and it becomes fun. But I'm talking about in 2014, it was mainly before I was amused by what he was able to do. So I would half sleep through the session and wait for the prophecy part. And I'll never forget the day I received a stab in my heart when he said, the Lord has told me today not to prophesy. Ah, I was like, my, I should have just stayed home. You understand? So 2015 now, I was starting to find relevant something in this. I was like, there's something about this person. It was towards the end of 2015, actually into early 2016, when I started to see him. You understand? You can actually be in front of an anointing
and not see it.
I'm telling you. You know, and you think you're seeing. You see, you will know you're not seeing as you should when something from that anointing has not replicated itself in you. Okay? 2015, could not prophesy. 2016, could not prophesy. As we went into the end of 2016, I started to realize that, hold on, I can actually prophesy, because I started to look at this man, and you know when he would make statements like, what I can do, you can do. I said, what? So I started going out randomly to start pick out people. Of course, there were mistakes here and there. But I'll never forget the first time I told a lady, I saw the name Calvin on her forehead. That changed my life forever. Because she told me that's my boyfriend. Now she was excited, and naturally, I did not want to show that it's the first time I'm actually getting something like this. So I was like, yeah, that's how we flow. You know, we do this for a living. Yeah, but so at that time, it changed. It revolutionized my life. It revolutionized my prayer life. I started to take things seriously that the man was saying, and I started to see him a different way. Now, when you see the man, see these particular things. When you see a man, an anointing that you admire, see the man, what he carries. See his message, because every man sent of God has one. And see his character. Some people think character doesn't matter, but for example, my spiritual father, he's a man of character. There is no way you cannot say that man does not have character. He has character.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I need you to understand that these three things, when they are seen in a particular way in a man, they start to transfuse certain things to you. Things start to be transferred to you. So I'll give you an example. Not necessarily in line with that, but let me give you an example. Recently, I listened, and you know, the way I listened to my father, I was telling someone, the beloved man of God, Pastor Jack, I was telling him the other day, that when I listened to Prophet Elvis Mbonye, when I listened to him, I don't know how other people listen to him, but he will say a statement, and I will not listen to the rest of the message.
Mm-hmm.
There's a statement that will catch me, and I'll go back later to listen to the message. Okay? So, for example, there's a time he made a statement like, I know what I carry. I sat there saying, Banang, can I say the same thing? Can you say you know what you carry? Now, recently, he made a statement. He said, there is a prophet in this nation. Now, I want you to imagine if you're a prophet and you're listening. Banang, is this guy saying that the rest of us are not prophets? He said, there is a prophet. Just last week. He said, this week actually on Tuesday, he said, there is a prophet in this nation, that you might know that there is a prophet in this nation. Now, what he's saying there is not necessarily that all the other prophets are irrelevant. It's an Elijah thing. What he's saying is that I am relevant to everyone here. Whether they attend Zoe or not. Whether they listen to me or not. I am relevant. What he was saying then is that, you know, he's referred to as the prophet to the nations.
Correct.
That means you can, there are prophets in the nation and prophets to
the nations.
Now, in the same way, there are businessmen in the nation and there are businessmen to the nations.
True.
There are writers in the nation and writers to the nations. There are teachers in the nation, there are teachers to the nation. We grow into those dimensions, especially when you're under a great anointing. It is easy for you to be dragged up into those higher levels. If I try to explain to you in an articulate way, I can pinpoint for you that day when I was teaching on blessings the other week.
Yes.
I can pinpoint for you that day that my life revolutionized through Prophet Elvis. But I can't tell you what happened. As in, he said some things, but I don't know what exactly I could have done to revolutionize. It's like, that's how when you encounter great anointings. He just said, receive glory, and may that glory increase. That is a blessing that is placed upon my life till this very day. Okay? When I look in my house, when I'm looking around, and let's say rent is needed, I go back to that prophecy. If you came to my place, you'll find a huge... my prophecy is right there on the wall.
Yeah.
I make sure I never forget it.
He
said, receive glory, and that glory increases. What? There's no rent. This glory is supposed to be increasing. And that rent has to show up. I submit both to the word and to the man. Okay? And really, because we're going to ask questions. The third stage... very few venture in. Those who are made eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. Very few. Where a man presses into the heart of God, he makes a diligent, it's a man of diligence. He makes a personal attempt to see a dimension of God that maybe he has not seen elsewhere. It is impossible for that to be true of you, absent of hunger. Impossible. Not like, not desire, hunger. It's impossible. Now, please, I'm talking about, because I'm a man of God, I'm talking about this in line with men of God, but I want you to get it and apply it to your call. Because there's a dimension of business that this earth has not yet seen. There's a dimension of worship. A prophetic, this earth has not seen. There's a dimension of writing that this earth has not seen. But you can sit under anointing and you see measures greater than you could ever imagine. But while still in that anointing, you need to seek God. This is where intimacy takes place. Where God says, let me show you something. He says, Maclean, come. In the middle of the night. He says, come. Let me show you something. Let me show you the secrets thereof. All right? Ministries have different graces. There are ministries that have a grace for revelation. There are ministries that have a grace for power. There are ministries that have a grace for teaching. Ministries, every ministry have a grace for love. Every ministry, the understanding is that the Bible refers to two things that are manifold of God. The manifold grace of God and the manifold wisdom of God. There are many dimensions of grace. There's a grace you can have, a grace you can have, and you need to understand, you need to study the grace that flows through the ministries that you sit so that you can know what exactly you're getting. You understand? You can listen to someone. Now, especially during this lockdown, I've seen people listen to sermons. They listen to many men of God, no problem. Listening to sermons does not necessarily change your life. It can, but it does not necessarily do. The amount of sermons you listen to is not what changes your life. Because notice Zacchaeus. He just saw Jesus and he said, I'm willing to give away everything. He didn't listen to thousands of sermons. Yes. So a change can happen just once. You can listen to as many sermons as you want, and your life can still be the same. You can accumulate knowledge. And your life is still the same. The reason is because words are spirit. And if they're not captured as so, if you're just listening to good sermons, I've been, you know, I get messages and I'm rebuking some people. I pray they listen to this. You go, you listen to a man of God, whoever it is, they're men of God. And you send me a message. And you know, because I sit under a prophet, prophets operate with seasons and times. As a result, I, as a son of a prophet, spiritual son, when I release a message, I release it in line with seasons and timings. And you send me a random message. I've been listening to this and you're totally off of the season. You understand? Totally off. And sometimes I feel like I'm putting my hand inside the phone. And getting someone by the collar. It is frustrating, especially for some of us who want to teach people how to understand the times and seasons and the moves of God. If you have struggling with knowing times and seasons, listen at least to a prophet. Okay, let's say Prophet Elvis. There are many other prophets on this earth, but let's say, because that's my spiritual father. Listen to him, you will know a season. But imagine, the man is talking about approaching his last message recently, the end of an age. Time is fast approaching, and he's not preaching. He's just come from a council meeting. And he's live with a word from heaven, a broadcast. And someone is sending me a message. I want to learn how to make spoons move. You understand? Now, that's not a bad thing. But the time in which you, by God, the time in which you sent it, you would have been focusing on the message of the season. Ask a relevant, please. And you know, such people, sometimes I never respond. I'm tempted to block, but then I realize I've been friends with some of these people, so let me leave. But really, it's true, frustrating. True. That's why certain men block you. Be relevant to the season and the timing. And it's the reason why, because that you can clearly see, someone has been listening to as many sermons as possible, but their life remained the same because they failed to discern the timings and the seasons of God. Okay? Because if you submit under a ministry, God will often give you a message in line with the season of the message of that ministry. Not outside it. Are you with me?
Yes.
So, In your rent issue, if you're submitted under a prophet, his message that day whether he's speaking about end times or not, has an answer to your rent issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not outside it.
Yes.
That Elijah thing, how you see him, and Jesus said, take heed how you hear,
mm-hmm.
not what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
How you hear.
Mm-hmm.
That will determine what flows to you. Every one of us here, I want to conclude so we can ask some questions.
Mm-hmm.
How long have I taken?
1 hour.
So far, 1 hour. Every one of us here have calls. Can you, internally, if you're listening to me, can you check where you are in these three levels?
Mm.
Where are you? Are you still nurturing something you were born with? Has something been, or something has been imparted on you from anointings that you sat under? And it's not just you saying with your head something was imparted. It is clear that it was added to you. People can see where it was got from.
Mm.
Or number three, you've actually driven deep into the heart of God. And God has nurtured in you something and awakened in you something that people can clearly see. Now, this I'm trying to show you, this is a direction, because this is a direction I want you to head. Have an evident prayer life.
Mm.
If you think you can survive, being efficient and effective in your call, absent of a relevant prayer life, you're lying to yourself. Your man of God cannot build your intimacy for you. I can impart anointing, I can't impart intimacy. That is a personal thing.
Mm.
You would rather stretch day and night for the 30 minutes or 20 minutes you can pray for and make it constant. You'd be amazed how God is faithful to something like that. I remember the first time I encountered an angel. Because I'm going to teach a message on intimacy with this later. But the first time I encountered an angelic being, I'll never forget it. It's as real as you're sitting in front of me here. As real, except with fire. I can't even, I wish I'd explain it to you. I know people who are people of encounters, and for them they have them like we eat daily bread. But I'm not a person of encounters, but I've had them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sporadic, but I've, and when I have them, I treasure them like gold.
Mm.
And I've seen, when you see these things, when you see these encounters, when you get these instructions from the realm of the spirit, you start to realize that men on earth are in their own things, where ministries are competing with each other over numbers. People are looking for boyfriends and girlfriends. People are looking for husbands and wives. All that is important. They get so acute, so concentrated and focused on the affairs of this world. Yet the realm of the spirit is on an agenda far above it. One thing I love about Prophet Elvis, everyone will be looking here, and he'll come and show you a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize you've been looking so what? So small. Mm-hmm. So small.
Mm-hmm.
People will be there waiting for specific people to die.
Mm-hmm.
And a man will come with an agenda of heaven and tell you mercy is ready for you, and you say, Jesus Christ, now. You understand?
Yes.
Because when a man has seen the heart of God,
mm-hmm.
he begins to, I want to conclude with this. When a person has an encounter with God, long for encounters,
mm-hmm.
because along this path, the Lord will train you and give you skill. When you gain skill, you become, you see, these three things evident in your life get you to a place of mastery. You become a master. In your area, in your craft, you become a master. God gives you skill. There's something the prophet said one time in my ministry. I picked out someone to prophesy, and I was seeing certain things in their lives, and I knew that if I said them as I saw them, I'll be releasing secrets to the congregation. So I'll never forget that day. I was struggling to find parables. And I'm in the middle of the session, I said, how does Prophet Elvis do this? I'll never forget that day. And he actually gave the answer recently when he said, you know, you need to be trained in skill to conceal certain. Wait, it's not, you know, someone might think that it's just, you just get a parable here, a parable there, and you put them there. But it's a skill that has been, you know, sharpened over time. You gain certain skills as you become a master in things. Mm. I, for example, I know how to listen to any anointing. And within a moment, I've grabbed what the revelation that they use to minister. I can come as T.D. Jakes in fellowship. Mm. I can come as Benny Hinn in fellowship. I can come. It's just that I don't want to do it. But I learned it over time that there's a way you can hear and capture what's upon a man. Then there's a deeper way where you're not just hearing, you start duplicating what the man
does.
What the man does. Eh? Mm. And so God will get you to a place where He, through encounters, through experiences, he gives you skill. He gives you skill and sharpens your ability. Now, at the first level, where you're born with talents and so on and gifts, Exodus 14:14 becomes true. Can you read for me Exodus 14:14? Quickly.
Okay, Exodus 14. Exodus 14:14. Mm. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace.
Read it again.
The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace.
Okay. So, at that place, God will fight for you. As you become skilled, you reach a place where David said, you teach my hands to fight and my fingers to war.
Mm.
Okay? Mm. So, you're involved in the battle. God is not fighting for you, you're literally fighting with God. God has taught you how to wage war. The highest place, when you've had intimacy with God, you will know that a person has intimacy with God at some level when he begins not only to honor the man but to honor the words of the man. When God honors your words, you've reached a place in him. Samuel reached it. He said he did not let his words fall to the ground. When God honors your words, it's not just for prophets. Where, Albert, you're in business, and you tell a guy, if you don't include me in your business deal, it's dead. And you begin to gain a reputation. God honors this guy's words. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
This world fears people who speak things and they come to pass.
True.
That's the place God wants to take you, where he honors your words. The place of encounter where, notice Prophet Elvis had some interesting experiences. He's somewhere and the Lord asks him, so what do you think we should do? What do you think we should do?
Mm-hmm.
How can God ask a man? Isn't God all-knowing?
Mm-hmm.
The reason is because when you've walked with God, his image is so ingrained in you that he's asking himself. And he knows the opinion you give will be his anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You're with me?
Yes.
You can't give an opinion that there are some people God can't ask that. What should we do? There are some people, the nation, now like this nation, Uganda, there are some people God can't say. So what? No. So Maria, what do you think? What do you think we should do? I think we should paint the gardens with roses and... You understand?
Yeah.
The image has been forged inside you, so God sees himself in you. And he asks himself. And you'll have to answer. It's a place where Peter had an unction of it, where Jesus said, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ. He said, it's my Father who has spoken. That's the place. In every one of our calls, God is taking you through this process. See, some of you are at the place of the man, a person that you sit under. Directly. I would always advise people, stick within the same lineage when seeking advice. Because when you submit to a word and you go to someone else who's speaking a different word, it causes confusion. So let's say, under this anointing, the word is, God can do all things for you. You can never be broke. You can, all that. Then you go to a place where they may say, let me tell you, it's the will of God for you to be poor. And meanwhile, that's the man of God you're asking. That affects your balance. Stay within lineage. Finally, I know I've said finally enough times, but finally, you see, people need to understand that I can be submitted to a man. I can be submitted to a man of God, but seek instruction within lineages. It does not mean I've unsubmitted from the man of God. Submission is the function of the heart.
True.
Only the person who has submitted actually knows if they're submitted. Because you can go through the processes. You can go, you buy all the audios, you, and then the man goes up there and says only 10% of you are submitted. That means it's not a function of the things that you do. There's something deeper. It's actually aligning to the message, the man, and the character. Understanding those three things in line with what the man that you sit under. Okay. I'm going to pray that the Lord really opens your eyes on the stage that you're at in life and how far he's going to take you and how far he's willing to take you. I pray God opens your eyes to that, because while Albert can be reflecting on if he's really a Christian, and you are a Christian because you're born again Christian, maybe you're attributing that question to your examine. The Bible says examine yourself in the faith. It's actually okay. While you do your examining, also examine your relationship. Not, it's actually more important to examine your relationship than it is your results. People come to me all the time, Rabbi, I don't have these results. What? Am I doing something wrong? And the first thing will always be, tell me about your relationship with God. Because people think they need to go 8 hours of prayer. I know someone who tried it and dozed the first 6 hours. All right? So stop trying to do that stuff. In this room and out here listening, there are great anointings. Great anointings that are waiting for the Lord to take you to the next level. How far are you willing to go? All right. Let's get to the place of our questions. All right, and we are back in the house. We have a few people with some questions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4 or so questions. But anyway, let's listen and see what we got.
Thank you, Rabbi. Well, the first one is not really a question. It's just something that I felt it would be nice if you could expound on. And this is the relevance of knowing what God says about you or a particular person and holding fast onto that word, regardless of the situation. That even when things don't seem to go your direction, you don't lose focus of that word, because in that word lies a blessing that keeps opening for you doors as long as you honor that word and you keep going back to it. And then the second is where the question is. You talked about the three levels. The one where you're born with it, and then you sow into you. And then the last one where, because of your desire for God, you get it. My question is, with these three levels, does it have to be clear cut that it's you move from one level, you first finish one before you move to the next, or can you do it concurrently? That's my question.
All right. So I'll answer the question first. You don't have to go through one to the other. There's some people, interestingly, who even start with the last stage, and they're building intimacy. Then in the process, God awakens to them what was always in them. Then they meet people who can deposit to them. So these three stages, they're not three stages, 1, 2, 3, in terms of
order.
Order. They are in terms of importance.
Mm.
Huh? Mm. The hierarchy is in terms of importance. And for me, the highest, the most important is the stage where you're intimate with God.
Mm.
All right? Okay. Now, line with the statement that you made. I think people must learn that the Bible says you must wage a good warfare with the prophecies that were spoken over you.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, when they read that scripture, they think that the prophecies that are spoken, number one, are spoken by prophets or someone who came and prophesied. You can receive a prophecy through a dream,
mm-hmm,
by reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Any word that you receive in your heart, you must wage warfare with it.
Mm-hmm.
You stand upon it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Circumstances that are contrary to the things that you're going through are destabilized,
mm-hmm,
by the word that you stand upon. So I think it goes without saying that if you're a child of God and you're struggling with anything, I think you must have had this over and over if you're a church attendant, mm-hmm, fellowship attendant, that you must learn to stand upon the word and the Lord will do the rest. But me primarily, like I said in the podcast,
mm-hmm,
you will need to move to from a stage where God fights for you to the one where God teaches your hands,
mm-hmm,
to fight. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And that stage where God begins to honor your words. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the stages you should desire to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Your man of God is a prototype of what you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the end of it. It's a prototype. Okay? Yeah. Let's have the next question.
My question is, how do you convince someone, a non-believer, at the top of their game or career, music, entertainment or such, about God? Because they may feel like they don't need God.
Okay, we live in a world where convincing by words does not exist anymore.
Mm.
And I'm sorry if you're called to be an evangelist out there and you've been doing crusades. People can get born again. But I've seen, and I've gone for missions, mm, since 2011. I was in missions,
mm.
In Kenya, in wherever. And I started to realize that when thousands came to Christ, there was always that element of some seed fell on thorny ground, others fell on fertile.
Mm.
Imagine, meanwhile, all of them received seed.
Mm.
You understand? Yeah?
Mm.
So this is why the discipleship angle of evangelism is extremely important. People need to know what they came into. There are people who come to God simply because their friend next to them, sitting next to them, gave their life to Christ. But the devil can attack that. So my thing is that, how do you reach out to someone? It's not just by speech. You need to learn the prototype that is in Scripture from the books of Daniel and the book of Joseph, that even though they were dealing with kings who were at the very apex of their society, they were able, especially in line with Joseph, to be the father of Pharaoh. And that means that if you notice, Joseph never preached a sermon, Daniel, mm, never preached a sermon,
mm,
they just demonstrated. And this is why I'm telling you, that place where you get into God, or where you get impartations and releases from men of God, because we'll talk about legacies, how legacies are created some other time,
mm,
but you will, when something is permanently upon you, when you receive a spirit of a man, you've received an inheritance.
Mm.
Huh? Mm. When you receive, mm, an inheritance, mm, that man now is creating a legacy. It's different from just receiving an impartation. Impartation is not necessarily an inheritance. You can just receive an impartation to prophesy,
mm,
and you leave. You must be a son to receive an inheritance. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, I've taught in the past, even as a son, you can actually be like the prodigal son and leave. And you make the mistake of thinking that the things that you have around you are because of you.
Mm.
But the day you leave, everything dies out. That's when you realize that it was because you were in your father's house. That what? So that lineage thing must be maintained. Inheritance and legacies. Very, very, very. That's why the Bible talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a legacy thing.
Mm.
All right? So demonstration is extremely important in this time and age. If you think you're going to talk to Warren Buffett about salvation, he'll ask you, what will this God give me?
That I don't
already have.
Mm.
It's at times like that that God is interesting. That day Warren Buffett's mother or someone is sick and no medicine can heal her. That's the day you say, let me come and show you the God. Okay? Yeah. Next question.
Yeah, thank you, Rabbi. I just wanted to make a request of whether you could shed more light about the relevance of encounters. Thank you.
More than learning, practice is higher than learning. Encounters are higher than practice. Because they impart in you something that maybe years of practice would not have imparted. Desire and hunger for encounters. And in line with that, because there's a question that someone asked that I thought was important. How do you hunger? You hunger because just like you hunger for food, you know what food you want at a particular date at what time. Some people's hunger goes up a meter when it's a specific type of food. So for example, if it's kalo, even if I'm hungry, yes, I might be hungry, but I'll eat two spoons are too many. Eat one spoon and I'm done with kalo. But let's say it's what?
Pork.
No.
Not
okay, pork. Okay. Pork stroganoff.
Or steak.
Yeah. Or beef stroganoff or whatever these things are.
Yeah.
For Maria, it might be black forest. Your hunger meter goes up because you've identified what it is that can quench your hunger. And that's how spiritual things are. Learn not to be ambiguous with your hunger. And how do you not be ambiguous with your hunger? You ask questions. You ask questions because Nebuchadnezzar asked questions asking, when I wonder the kingdoms that will come after me, and God answered him. It's impossible to ask a genuine question with a genuine desire in the realm of the spirit and not have hunger. It's impossible. Questions are directly linked to hunger. Take a look at the story of Job. That guy, the entire book is asking for God. Ask questions. And then God comes and he says, my ear had heard of you, now my eye has seen you, I've kept quiet. He had a hunger for an answer. Alright? When you do that, a desperate and contrite spirit God shall not put asunder. That's what the Bible says. When someone is genuinely hungry, seek for the kingdom, develop a hunger, especially with things that are of your interest, you will see the spirit of the Lord quench that thirst or that hunger. You with me?
Yes.
Yeah. Maria.
Thank you, Rabbi. You have been teaching us all these mysteries. You've taken us through all these episodes. Espionage, warfare. My question is, what's your desire for us at the end of all this? Like, we have listened to all this. What's your desire for us to reap from what you've taught us?
Every anointing has a core. Every anointing has a core. If you're anointed, if you're an anointed writer, there's a core for it. If I'm an anointed teacher, there's a core. If my spiritual father has a core. That core is revealed in every ministration. Every ministration. And like I've explained to you, if you went to my ministry app and looked at the categories of messages, you would begin to notice that there are messages that are in a particular category more than the other categories, because that is my core. When I teach spiritual warfare, I'll never teach it absent of purpose and destiny. Okay? When I teach on spiritual espionage, I'm talking about watch. You're being watched. You're being watched. Okay? And it's in line with your call, your purpose and destiny. Okay, if I'm to teach about whatever else have I taught? I went through three categories of warfare: espionage, custodians of secrets, and so on. Then blessings and curses. It's in line with your purpose and destiny. So if you're listening to me, my aim is that ultimately you walk your path, and you walk your path with clarity. I'm not just trying to give you deep things. Because at the end of it all, the Lord will come and ask you, you listen. Meanwhile, people don't seem to realize, by the way, the more sermons you listen to, the less excuses you'll have. You know that?
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you to listen to less sermons so that you don't have excuses. But the thing is that you're accountable. You be deep. You listen to all those things that you're listening to. But know what is in the core of everyone's ministry. My friend and brother in the spirit, Prophet Ernest, his core is the discerning of spirits. And he has a core upon his life that has to do with encounters. So there is no way you can be upon in that guy's ministry and there's no hunger for encounter, or at least it doesn't come out somewhere. And I know there are some people who are going to listen to this and say, me, I want encounter, so I'm going to run to Prophet Ernest's ministry. Well, you can do whatever it is that you want, but you know, you need to know exactly why God has brought you to a particular place, and what you have. So mine is purpose and destiny, and also in line with it, the understanding of times and seasons. All right, we have to close, but I want to say this. We're in a season where there's no time to delay. There's no time to dilly-dally around. We're getting closer and closer where the lines are being drawn, and you need to know where you stand, not only in relation to church, because I remember I've taught this before. It doesn't matter. It's not about whose side you belong. It's about which agenda you help father. It's not about whose side you belong. So the only way you can further the agenda is not just by posting. I'm going to use myself as an example. You don't post. It's not just about posting Rabbi's picture on your status or on Facebook or what. That's not, by far, not furthering an agenda. By far, not furthering an agenda. It has its relevance. The furthering of an agenda is first and foremost picking the spirit of the words of the person, more than anything, and allowing the Lord to replicate the life of the person you're listening to, so that you can be relevant in what you do as well as the things you post. Because I know people who are the best posters of pictures and what, and their lives are on the standstill because they've thought this is all they need to do. Let no one lie to you. That, along with other things, you need to understand that you need to be relevant to an agenda, you need to do something that is a replication of the spirit that you're under. So we have one more episode to go, because there are 7 episodes, and then we would have finished with this season. But I want to say that make sure you tune into the last episode, because we're going to go into something that's interesting that will be worth a last episode. Thank you so much to the group that was around. They traveled far and near to make it here. God bless you, and thank you for listening in.
Thank you for listening to the RDM podcast. Join us next time to discover more secrets, dimensions, and depth. To find out more about Rabbi Daniel Malinga Ministries, please visit www.rabbidanielmalinga.com, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram @RabbiDanielMalinga.